Five Geeks, Five Opinions, One Podcast, Nerdgasm Noir Network, where we do nerd shit.
All right, we're recording. Okay, so this is Maria and Melissa, and we're here with Arturo.
Hello.
A boy named Art on Twitter. And I'm an incredible writer. You write for so many sites. It's Racialicious, and then who else do you write for?
Raw Stories, my day job. I've also been published at Nerdspan and The Guardian.
How awesome is that? So today we decided we'd have a little discussion about Daredevil. Season 2 on Netflix. Everybody's finished it, is that right? Except for me?
Did you not finish it?
I have like 30 minutes to go.
Like, we've given you, I think, us as the internet has given you ample time.
I'm not excusing myself. You're
right.
As long
as you don't excuse yourself, that's it.
No. You know what? I'm going to let Melissa do that, even though she probably hasn't seen a very recent movie for like 2 years. I'm going to let Melissa do that.
Ma'am, I was just in a theater to see Star Wars. Thank you.
When
it came out.
Oh, okay.
Not like the day of, but like a couple of weeks later.
Okay. That's an improvement, though. You're getting it. I appreciate it.
And I saw Ant-Man, which came out within a year.
You're doing better than me, though. I haven't seen Ant-Man at all.
I'm going to see Civil War, too. Like, I'm taking the day off. It's going to be great.
Ooh.
I know that's not what we're here for, but I'm super excited about it.
Me too. I'm just going to pretend like Batman versus Superman doesn't exist.
I tried to watch Batman versus Superman.
Why?
Congratulations.
It was like you tried, and then what happened?
I gave up.
Okay.
It was boring. Like, that was boring. Legit boring. I don't even understand.
Yeah, you know what? I was good with Supergirl and The Flash. Like, I didn't need the Murderverse after that.
I feel like I've been too harsh on Supergirl. Maybe I need to go back. Eggs is there. So,
Eggs is there.
I could try. The Flash is all I need.
I can say it's gotten a little more consistent as it's gone on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's one moment that makes you like wince every episode, sure, but they seem to have a handle on things a little more recently. And the Flash episode, I thought was one of the peaks.
Okay,
yeah, okay, I'll check that out then.
Yeah.
Okay, so but on to Daredevil here. So,
up to a whole new another universe.
Right here, hey Miller, another darker universe.
All right, back to Marvel.
Right. MCU. So, how long did... I know Arturo and I are discussing about how long it took him to finish the show, but how long did it take you, Melissa?
Gosh, I think about a week. I slowed it down for myself.
Alright.
Like, the first season I did in a weekend. Like, I just knocked that shit out.
Me too. I really liked the first season. How did you feel about it, Arturo?
The first season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I came away really liking the first season. It took me a little while to adjust for the second, once I saw that there were different priorities in mind. But it wasn't unenjoyable.
So it wasn't unenjoyable.
That is the most lukewarm review.
I mean,
like, not horrible.
Here's my issue. It always seems to happen in the first 2-3 days after a show drops in this fashion.
Mm-hmm.
That people either come away like, "Oh my god, this is the best thing ever," or they run to the other fringe.
Mm-hmm.
And my issue here is I felt season one was more exciting. Season two for me definitely took on on the role of expanding not only Matt's universe, but this little, the Netflix corner of the MCU. So there was a lot more work being done. It just didn't translate all the time into, you know, into some of the high spots that the first year did. So it's not lukewarm. It's just, you know, I appreciate it, but I also appreciate that it had different. It seemed to me to have different goals in mind.
Yes, definitely.
One late takeaway is that the show is incredibly inaccurate when it comes to depicting how law works.
Is it?
One small example, and we can piggyback from this into the Punisher if you want. But you know how, spoilers for everybody, Matt screws up and comes in late, and Foggy has to give the opening statement, right?
Right, right.
And that's a great moment for Foggy, which it turns out is part of the plan. But Foggy had the option of delaying the statement.
Right.
And it wouldn't have been a problem. And Castle also has the option of suing Nelson and Murdoch for how they prepared his case.
That's true.
And it didn't come across for me on first viewing because this show has such a somber presentation. It just, you know, you like to think it's authentic because it's not super comedic like the Guardians of the Galaxy or snide like an Iron Man movie. But it's funny watching people who practice law talk about how this show does their profession, and you see them like almost pulling their hair out over the keyboard. But you know, how did you feel about the Punisher?
I don't know. Over the whole show, I ended up kind of disliking Matt and liking the Punisher and Elektra much more. And it was interesting to me, they had the scene where they were interviewing people to be on the jury for his trial. The people who were like, oh, I have no problem with the Punisher, you know, he's doing what needs to be done or whatever, were two black women and one white woman. And the people who were like, oh no, he's taking the law into his own hands, he's a vigilante, he has to go, were all white men.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting. But I thought it was a good juxtaposition with Matt and, you know, his whole thing is, you know, believing in the system and not killing people. But I do like the way the Punisher served as, an opposite side of that coin. As to, well, you can send them to jail, but they're still alive. They might get out and build more. We got to kill them, you know. So I thought that was refreshing to see that kind of balance or struggle with balance. But I thought he was more interesting to me. Because he was more honest of a character.
Right, he had no illusions about what he does.
Right. Go ahead.
One thing that that came across for me, and I've read a number of Punisher solo books. Bernthal gave Frank a little bit of a sense of humor. He gave him a little bit of a little bit more warmth than Frank has in the comics. His reaction to Foggy's opening statement. He seemed to be. He didn't buy it, but he wasn't making a storm about it. And even his connection with Karen, you don't see Frank do that in the comics.
Really?
There you are.
Sorry. Yeah, my mic went completely off. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, we were just talking about Frank and the Punisher in the series. What did you think of him?
Oh, I had the unpopular opinion of being annoyed by Frank the Punisher. Listen, when he first got there, I was like, oh, cool, angry, violent guy. All right. And then he gets arrested, and then he becomes the worst client in the world. Mm. Like, just annoying. I just thought the whole, like, up until the jail scene, the prison scene, when he, like, kills a bunch of people, I was annoyed. I was annoyed with him through the whole thing. I was annoyed with him in court. I was annoyed with him in the hospital.
I'm almost surprised he didn't, you know, elect to be his own lawyer, because he seems like the kind of person who would want that much control.
You know, he fell for, like, Karen says something about breaking into his home and his personal life, and all of a sudden, that's how you pick your lawyers. Like, well, she broke into my house, so...
Sure. Gotta respect the hustle.
Why not, you know? Right, and then you do this whole thing, and I was Team Foggy all the way. You do this whole thing, and Foggy, like, breaks his fucking back to get you this sweet-ass deal, because you've killed 37 people.
Right.
Like, was it 36? You've killed a bunch of people.
Dozens.
A lot. There's no reason you should get just one life sentence with the chance of parole in 25 years. That's ridiculous. But you do all that. All you gotta do is say, I did it, which you've been saying this entire time anyway. And then you switch it around. You're like, nope, instead I want the DA to die. Make some threats. And then we're just going to do this whole thing. Use all this small law firm's resources. Nope. He redeems himself, but he annoyed me for quite some time.
No, yeah, he was a horrible client, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was going to say, it helps. For me, Punisher is like the Hulk in a sense, in that the more characters they have to bounce off of, the better it works for them. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I could have handled a Punisher solo story in this version right off the bat. Like, without ping-ponging him off of Matt and the discussion on the rooftop and Karen in the hospital room. Yeah. And even his interactions with the old veteran. And big spoiler alert, you know, Punisher. It's hard. That helps. I felt that helped the viewer figure out where he fit in the MCU. Whereas if he just showed up, you know, like in a story like one of his movies where he's just on this mission for revenge, it would have come a lot. It would have come off a lot more, in a lot more pedestrian fashion.
Are you talking about the Thomas? Was it Thomas Jane and John Travolta?
I feel bad for Thomas Jane. You know, everybody loved him, and then Bernthal showed up, and it was like, who?
No one remembers him anymore.
Right.
Sorry.
But, you know, their stories are much more typical for that genre. You know, rarely does a character of the Punisher get not only adversaries, but... people who argue with him who are not automatically in the wrong.
So the story always justifies his action.
Right. I mean, boy, he has his justification, but it's allowed to stand there alongside how Matt sees his streak of vigilantism. And there's no concrete evidence that one is automatically better than the other.
I think another thing, a reason why I liked Frank the Punisher, is also because of a reason, like, I get tired of Matt always saying, you have to trust the system. And I'm just like, I don't! I can't!
But Matt doesn't trust the system. I will agree with you guys. He brought out Matt's bullshit in, like, a plain-ass way. It wasn't this big, long-out speech about it. It was a good rooftop talk, but it was just like, you know... that you are on some bullshit, right? Like, you don't kill people, but you're doing the same thing I'm doing. But you're better. No.
I I think Matt ultimately believes in his work, but he feels there are cases where he needs to, where Daredevil acts as a supplement to it. There's stuff he can't do in his day job. There's stuff the detective we see him chum it up with. There's stuff he can't do under the purview of the law, but you know Daredevil can deliver them this evidence or this crook. Daredevil can pressure this person to squeal. So it doesn't it doesn't replace the system. It adds it provides something that the system is constrained from doing. Whereas, like you said, Frank is like, whatever. I'm just gonna eliminate the middleman.
Right. He's like, this way, this doesn't happen again. No one's on parole because they're dead.
What did you think of the mental health out they tackled with him?
Yeah. What they did with Frank? Ooh. Like how they represented mental health with his storyline, or
the way they chose to do it, because the PTSD is one thing, but I'd never heard the idea of that he's reliving the death of his family in a loop.
Oh.
That's a wrinkle to the Punisher that I'd never heard before.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a good ad. I think it was interesting that he kept denying PTSD when he clearly had PTSD.
It's like, what'd you do, though?
He's like, I'm not going to be one of those vets who has PTSD from the war. Like, nah, it's not from the war, though. It's from that tragic ass scene with your family.
The one you keep telling everybody about where they were all killed in the park? You remember that, right? That's not...
Right. That chant you keep doing from your daughter's story time book? Whenever you kill a person? Like...
You're clearly going through it. And... You should recognize that. But yeah.
You know, maybe to him it doesn't register because he's seen... people go through it from being in the military. Maybe that's just where that's a line he draws, possibly for self justification, possibly have a sense of respect
for his fellow vets.
Hmm?
You said a sense of respect
for the people with whom he served.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. That aspect I did like. I don't know that I like that they tried to use it in his trial, like, because again, it's like 30 something people, and PTSD isn't going to get you off for that. Like, I do like that they turned it around, though, and brought up his family instead of the war for the PTSD.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then also, so we see Matt has like a. Like, his life falls apart, basically. His non-daredeviling life falls apart because of his daredeviling life. Mm-hmm. And, like, he just lets everything go to the side, especially when Elektra gets hurt. Where I just kind of lost it. Like, that's when he's, like, missing the court cases and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, but you could go to work, though.
You could.
She's just going to stay in bed. You could go to work.
Sticks there.
You know, I think Foggy had the key line in the whole thing. So that when he tells Matt, quit acting like these things just happened to you.
Right. Because he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know this was, but you chose to go out last night. You knew we had a thing to do in the morning, but you went out anyway. And Elektra didn't drag you.
How did you think of the way what did you think of the way they presented Elektra?
Wasn't she supposed to be Greek?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought so.
I can just see you looking at your screen, Maria, like, okay, so this is Greek? Is that new Greek?
Greek way of Britain, I guess? All right.
I liked how they did Electra. Like, I liked how they...
Elodie Young was born in France, yeah.
I liked her character.
Yeah. I agree. I liked her story. I liked the fact that they did the whole flashbacks in the background, and I liked her and Matt, like their whole their whole thing, even though it was clearly a setup. Right. But it was kind of sweet. It was like, aw.
I had some issues with the way they brought in. My first thought was, well, now we know why she was the college girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you know, somebody calling, you know, wants to go out at like midnight, and you got a thing to do at work at 8. No,
right.
That ain't me anymore. Have fun. but also, I mean, it part of the thing with Elektra is that she does what she will always. Mm-hmm. And here, it seemed like at every turn, she was influenced by a man. You know, whether it was Stick, or you had Matt telling her that she could be a good person. You know.
Yeah, I hate that. That comes up in like so many different things, especially when it comes to a woman who's being violent. Oh, but you're so much better than this. Okay. You could be a good. I don't even know why they bothered with that when she turned it around like the next 5 minutes.
When she slit that kid's throat 2 seconds later. Yeah.
I guess we're supposed to be horrified along with Matt, but it just, I don't know. For me, it didn't work, and I don't blame Elodie Young for that. Yeah. I thought she was good as the character. I just don't think they gave her a lot more to do than swing between being the love interest and the hitter.
I mean, you could almost say she wasn't even there, because the only person who ever really sees her is Matt.
Oh my god, what if it turns
it's
out
like Donnie You're Darko
Lila and Eve.
Well, hopefully they give her more next season.
More background.
I think that'd be interesting.
Just, you know, I don't think she needs background. I just think she needs more to do.
That too. Yeah.
Like, let either make her the big bad or give her her own enemies to fight. But she needs to do something on her terms. I can live without I can live without knowing how Stick brought her up. I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's that whole scene, you know, when they're in the basement with Stick and Matt and the Yakuza ninja guys?
Nobu, yeah.
Nobu, thank you. I'm bad with character names. And she's, like, choosing, like, which side she's gonna go for. And I'm thinking, go with Nobu, because they all want to work for you, so now you can be your own boss.
Yeah, man.
They're literally bowing down.
I can run a whole ninja clan?
Right.
Is there dental?
I'm ready for that. That would be interesting.
But speaking of the hand, like, for ninjas, they're not very quiet. Like, it defeats the purpose to have, like, 20 of them running around when ninjas are supposed to be, you know, in and out without being noticed.
That whole scene in the hospital?
Right. Well, the hospital, the construction site, the train. I mean, that's very inefficient.
I guess it doesn't matter if you have enough.
What did you make of the criticisms, you know, speaking of the hand and Nobu and Madame Gao to some degree? What was your response to the criticism about how the show handles Asian and Asian American characters?
Pretty horribly. It's pretty bad. It's kind of like to the point where I'm like, okay, I don't think I'll see season 3 because this is like too much for me. The whole like their faceless Asian horde of Yakuza or ninjas, just like, okay, and there's so many of them. There, nobody gets a name except for Nobu or Madame Gao, and they don't, you know, you don't really get to talk to them too much. It's just okay.
And Madame Gao, you know, speaks everything's an ancient Chinese secret apparently.
Yes, when he was about to leave that scene, and she says something about, you know, some kind of saying or poem, I was like, oh god, for real?
How long you live in the city? Give it to me straight.
Alright.
You know,
I was expecting for somebody at some point to be like, no, the Chinese symbol for struggle also equals opportunity, or just like, oh, okay.
And the only good person in the hand is the white accountant.
Right. Like, it for me, it was worse than it was in the first season.
I would agree with that. It's so... I don't know. Maybe... I feel like they're going to address... Maybe they have to address it or do something to balance it out in season 3. Like, you know... Somebody that doesn't speak in riddles or speaks at all, or
well, they had the chance.
Just like
Iron
a regular
Fist.
Guy, like on the street or something. That would be cool.
Right. He just says, "What
right,
up, Matt?"
Right, because Asians don't seem to exist outside of this context of Yakuza Ninja or Madame Gao.
Right, like he doesn't work at your funky fusion place with the chili peppers.
Right,
like you just maybe he works at the law firm. Maybe he's at the Starbucks. I don't know.
Maybe he's even like store manager, like chief or something, like running or, something, not in service to somebody else.
Or maybe he's another detective.
Right.
Just
not working at the laundromat / secret headquarters.
And like if we're
of the
oh my god, not the laundromat. And if we're having this whole problem with the big Yakuza at Yakuza, and the police know this, we don't have anybody on the police. Chief team, the police department who's
not at all, no
Chinese or Japanese, no,
not at all,
need...
no,
oh, okay.
No, don't need it, okay. Don't need it. Tell's okay. Kitchen,
you know,
for some reason, people keep moving there
and staying.
Well, you know, they had their chance with Iron Fist and they blew it.
So they're still going with the white guy,
yep.
For Iron Fist,
oh wow,
but now,
way
now
to double down.
Shang-Chi might show up, so. I guess it's okay.
No, but Netflix definitely seems to have a problem with this in particular. I mean, even considering, like, Marco Polo. That sound was my face. Yeah, it was...
I'm glad I never watched it.
It would be, you know, kind of cool if we just kind of got rid of Marco Polo.
Is it popular? Do people watch it?
I never got the sense that many people watched it. Like, I never heard of any.
I don't know how many.
I've seen, like, one reference to it in mainstream, and that was it.
I saw quite a few tweets about it when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like, you know, Daredevil, Jessica Jones popular.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, no. What did you think about the representation of Asian people in Daredevil? Archer, sorry.
I can't help but agree with you. I mean, it's sticking out like a sore thumb more and more. And now we've gone from this mess with the hand, right, to Iron Fist,
mm-hmm.
to the Ancient One in Doctor Strange... and not Marvel related, but the Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, yeah.
Mess. So it's Marvel had a chance to short circuit if they'd given us an Asian American Iron Fist. Instead, it's become part of this industry wide problem and is being brought to light more and more. It has me leery about Luke Cage a little bit, even.
Yeah.
Because I'm worried that they're going to make Luke Cage the diverse show, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
You're probably right.
I didn't think about that. Even the teaser, well, there's, I'm assuming everyone's seen the teaser by now, set to the Nas track at the end of the year for Daredevil. And my first thought was, why does Cage get the hip hop track right off the bat? But if you compare like the themes to Daredevil and Jessica Jones, they both have that same understated
tone.
Yeah, like it's and part of that tone is, I think it's sort of a code of these are serious programs that just happen to have super pure. Like, are we going to get that with Luke Cage, or is it, or, you know, and there was a story a couple days ago that, you know, the people scoring the show are going to say it's like the Wire of the Marvel Universe. Yeah. And I'm thinking that we're going to tackle systematic educational inequality.
You got excited it was going to go completely off script? Like, we're just going to change this whole show then? Like, it's not going to be Luke Cage. It's going to be the Wire.
And I mean, saying the Wire has a very different connotation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Wire isn't just "oh shit, Omar coming."
No,
it's mostly that for me. I'm going to be super honest with you. Omar made the Wire for me and continues to do so. But I get your point.
You know, David.
If Luke Cage butches out with what is that? Marlo ain't the man for these streets, though. I don't know that I'm going to be mad. I don't know that I'm going to be mad. So, saying it now. Sorry.
But it would be interesting that, oh yeah, now we can do this because we have a black character now.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I'm sure it'll be good. It's just a matter of what's going to stick out on the second or third viewing, or, you know, if you sit down and think about it for a little bit.
Also, about going back to Daredevil here, Rosario Dawson was awesome.
So okay. Awesome.
I was like, why isn't she on screen more? Like, I think I was kind of upset about the whole idea with Karen and Matt, because that would mean less Rosario Dawson.
Can we talk about Karen for a minute? Okay, I have very strong anti-Karen feelings. Number one, I'm going to say it always at the top. She's responsible for Ben's death.
Yep. Oh.
Directly responsible.
Oh, I'll let y'all finish, then I got a riff.
Ben wouldn't have done the story at all. Okay, so let's say we've all agreed that she's responsible for Ben's death. In the second season, she has Ben's car and then gets it ruined, like, multiple times, and then takes his office, and she's not even a journalist.
Okay.
Single white female of Ben's life. It kind of reminded me of...
No, okay, so that, what you mentioned right there, her getting Ben's office...
Yes.
As someone who works in journalism and has pursued this career since I was 18, 10 years ago. So, that, one, no way that office is still empty. Two, no way you get it if you've never written a story in your life.
Ever.
Three.
All his stuff still in it.
That's just creepy. Three, if your editor comes to you after that last night and your story isn't, "I was kidnapped by a ninja zombie cult, let me tell you what happened," you deserve to get fired, because that column they had, that she, this is part of the last 30 minutes, it's really not that big of a thing.
No,
but that, like, the big CW show voiceover with the piano, everybody needing heroes. I would...
Not even everybody needing heroes. Everybody is a hero.
She would have got laughed out the office. Laughed out the mixer. Like, no. That... You wouldn't run that in a small town weekly paper, let alone something that's supposed to be a competitor to the Bugle.
I want season 3 to start with the editor just laughing at her. Like, nah, we was just playing. This ain't your job.
Know, we had a chance to think about this.
No, man, like, you gotta go. It what it should have been was like her making a listicle. Like the paper should really be like
the top 10 reasons why Daredevil is.
Right. You know, I was kidnapped by ninja zombies. You won't believe what happens next. Or, you know, let me describe the night in emoji.
Right.
But like, make it like a. Wait, what is but that make it like thought? BuzzFeed. That'd be. Right. I mean, that would be topical and hilarious.
Tim Katz, mm-hmm. I'll describe my meeting with the
I would totally the listicle a BuzzFeed listicle is the only way to save Karen's character for me. Because I'm coming up with so many article titles.
I mean, all really Karen has to do now is, like, marry Ben's wife. And the cycle will be complete.
Oh, my God. Marry Ben's wife, divorce her, leave her penniless, and then that way, yes. And then burn down Ben's house. And then that way, her destruction of Ben has been complete. Like, it comes full, maybe piss on the ashes of his house. And then it is fully complete with how messed up she is towards this whole bit. Nobody mentions it.
Nobody. And there was this essay many years ago about Buffy, about Spike, and you know his leather jacket.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So there's this essay that was on LiveJournal called "It's Nicky Wood's Fucking Coat," because he took that jacket from a Slayer that he killed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And in the essay, they're basically like, he's wearing her skin, basically. Like, you kill this black woman in front of her child, and now you're wearing her coat. Like, for real? And so it just kind of reminds me of that. Like, this dude died because your actions directly, and now you're in his office?
Yeah.
And you're driving his car.
His car.
How did you feel about them trying to make her quote unquote superpower? Like, it was obvious they were playing her up as being able to relate to Frank and connect to the general and be a little bit more of an investigator.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that aspect to her?
I thought that was stupid. I thought it was stupid and poorly done. So, like, you can relate to Frank because you killed, like, one person and then maybe some more people when you were a teenager for completely different reasons.
That's why she had to break into his house to find out about his family so that she could bring them up.
And why did she do that? Did we ever... And that's why I say it's poorly done, too, because... They never explained her fascination with Frank Castle. Like, what is it?
Also, she's not great at breaking into houses.
Not at all. So, I did like her and Frank scenes together. I find that was the only time I really liked her so much.
Mm-hmm.
When they were in the diner having just regular conversation. Yeah. I found that was cool. But... As far as her as an investigator, for some reason now she's an investigator and can
she's
relate
just got a knack
to
for it.
How? And this is not belittling your job, but you are a receptionist. Like, are you not going to do your job? Do you come into your job and then go to another job? That's exactly what she was doing for quite some time.
Well,
like, she would go into the law office. Maybe make a cup of coffee. Not even make the coffee. You bring the coffee. And then you go to the newspaper.
Matt didn't notice.
Because Matt also was not there. I felt so bad.
Me too. Foggy was like, can we just be lawyers?
That's what he cut. That's what he came in to do. Like, nobody asked Matt to become a vigilante. No one, like, said, oh, no one died and was like, man, the last thing my dying
dad did
is for you to protect me. Well, yeah, but he didn't say my dying wish is for you to protect Hell's Kitchen. I'm sure it was something like more sentimental. Like, hey, you know, live your best life or something.
Get an education.
Which doesn't include walking around. Right. Don't just walk around Hell's Kitchen with a wave cap fighting bad guys.
Wave cap.
I missed the shit out of that wave cap, man. Y'all remember to do that. That was his first costume. We forgot his roots.
But yeah, his whole "this is my city." What?
Claire busted that shit away. No, it's not. Not your city. Stop saying that. You sound ridiculous.
I love Claire.
I guess the city did the show did a better job of questioning that this time around.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, you definitely don't root against Foggy when he goes and gets the other job. You know, and
I was super excited to see Evil Lady there.
Shout out to Hogarth.
Yeah.
Get to see her back up here.
Yeah. I would like
bringing it off.
I'd like to see them trade stories that they were about to do.
I don't think Foggy can handle her stories.
Probably not.
No.
Like that?
Not
no.
He might rescind that job offer.
Right. Like, Daredevil is violent, but Jessica Jones is dark. Yeah. Like, it's...
It's so cool. Much.
I don't know. How am I going to phrase this? I can live with how the show presents Matt doing what he does because it hasn't let him off the hook for doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, on the one hand, yes, you can say that he should have been upfront from the get-go. You know, it needs to be better about scheduling, obviously. But at the same time, I did like that we got to see the consequences of what he's done on all fronts. And that, you know, and on a lesser show, somebody like Foggy would have just been comic relief.
Right.
And just blindly followed him. You know, but for better or worse, here we got to see him be good at his job, no matter how inaccurately he was portrayed.
That's not how you actually lawyer.
But he did the closest, you know, the closest representation of it there. So maybe?
Right.
Points? No? Better lawyer than Matt?
He shows up, for one.
Yeah.
I just walks in late, smelling like last night. I'm like, all right, guys. The law.
So we know they're doing a Punisher show.
So they are. I figured that this was going to lead to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was thinking, why not an electric show? An electric show? No?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Female.
Oh, but Jessica Jones.
We already got Jessica Jones.
Oh, we only have one.
They get, yeah, calm your lady bits.
Oh, my
God. All right.
Sorry. I'm just nice.
So.
I think part
of- I don't even know if I want to see what they would do with Elektra.
Mm-hmm. Part of the reason with an Elektra show is that she's not a New York character.
Oh.
Like, in the comics, she is all over the place because she travels around killing people. Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't do that, too?
I guess you could, but that's not their vision right now. Like,
okay.
they're for better or worse, they're committed to Marvel Netflix covering this little sector of New York. I don't. Has it been confirmed? I'm not seeing anything. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, they confirmed it in January. So we are going to get a Punisher show. Mm-hmm. That could go.
Yeah, you know.
That could get really annoying very quickly. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Especially since he's a Avengers family now. It's just going to be like white male anger, and I'm a little afraid.
It's like Monster of the Week type television, because I don't see them doing a long term. I'm good. I'm going to watch it, because that's what I do. That's what it does. I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it. But I'm going to watch every episode.
I think there are certain stories that work for him. I can think of Welcome Back Frank. That works for him. Well, the premise of that one is that the Punisher inspires these four completely different people to go to become to kill others in pursuit of the respective agendas. you know, so they lay that on top of the usual mob hit, yada yada. So I think that one could work. But again, only because he has a variety of characters he can bounce off of.
Right.
If they try to make it like... If they try to make Frank Castle Omar, it's not going to work.
I just need one Omar reference, though. Listen.
I mean, even
if you have him walking down Hell's Kitchen with that long-ass jacket and a rifle and a kid and like a whistle.
And he's whistling that song.
Yeah. Then that's all I need. But I don't want it to be... I don't want it to be Frank, though.
Damn. I mean, that could be Luke Cage.
That could, I would like to see that in Luke Cage. And then then I can understand their wire comparisons. Besides... Is it just going to be something that cool black people...
Right.
Is that why it's going to be The Wire? Like, I don't understand what we're doing.
Is Wendell Pierce going to be in it?
Oh, my God.
Speaking of which, I got to meet him last week.
Okay, so I hate you a little bit, but we'll come back to that.
I still love you.
If Wendell Pierce is in... No, I hate you. You can't erase it. Vendetta, okay? So, if Wendell Pierce is in Luke Cage... If anybody from The Wire shows up in the Luke Cage show, I'm gonna cry a little bit on the inside.
I got $5. Avon Barksdale shows up.
If Avon either
Barksdale or like McNulty.
I'll be so happy. I'm gonna know that they're pandering. Okay, I'm gonna know it.
Or what's his name? Michael, the one who drove off into the sunset after he killed what's her name? I'm really bad with characters. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
I look good. Yeah. Yes. Any of those people are acceptable. Just so they know. I'll take
To piggyback, to jump back to Supergirl for a second. It's in canon that she has watched The Wire.
Really?
There's a scene where she's talking to her sister about going to bust somebody, right? And she says something to the effect that it's just like that time we binge watched The Wire. I'm thinking,
what?
Really?
See, now I don't know if they're trying to make her quirky. Now I don't trust it. I don't trust it anymore.
You might just have to watch it, Melissa. It's the only way to find out.
Such a long day. It just, like, I saw the first two episodes of Supergirl and it felt like Smallville on 10 with the sugar.
I couldn't take it. I saw the first one, I was like, oh, I can't. But
like, what's that song about 500,000 miles or something?
Vanessa, yeah.
I felt like that could be the theme song for Supergirl. And no one would
I mean, it didn't help that the first episode came out right after the Black Widow spoof of Devil Wears.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Because that is exactly what I compared it to. Because it seemed to be exactly like that. And I was like, oh, okay. Well.
But it's gotten better since then.
Did it get renewed?
The word is it's all but officially renewed. It's performing well enough in the ratings to justify it.
Oh. Okay, this is fucked up with me, but I'm waiting for it to get renewed. I know that doesn't make sense.
No.
But
I mean, at least it means you know that it's going somewhere.
Yeah, I think.
Right. I feel like whenever fans say that and they don't want to help it get renewed, I get annoyed.
The word that I read was that the Flash episode opened some eyes.
Oh, really? Okay.
So now people are talking about, like, you know, can we have her meet Ollie next or something?
That would be interesting. Considering they're from opposite ends of the spectrum in tone.
I think the best thing that could have happened in Legends of Tomorrow would have been having her on board.
Really?
It's such a dour show.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean...
I gave up on that super
half
quick.
I gave up like 2 weeks ago. Because honestly, like, every show, Rip grumbles about them not doing anything. Professor Stein talks like Brainy Smurf. Jax tries to be cool, but they, you know, he can't get anything done with that crew. About the only characters who come out of this feel looking better are Snart and White Canary.
See, I like Snart, White Canary, and Kendra.
Is she still saying she's a barista every week?
Who? Kendra? No. Oh, and then they killed her. What was the dude?
Carter, yeah.
They killed him, thank God.
Yeah, no big loss there.
No.
I love it when a character is so well disliked that his death is just like, eh.
That was great. Yeah.
You're gone.
Because I just can't take him talking about how he's the Prince of Egypt.
I just can't do it. The Prince of all of Egypt.
Really though, which Egypt?
All of it.
The Egypt. The all of Egypt. Egypt. Or a different Egypt.
All of it. The like only
United
Egypt.
United Egypt or North or Southern Egypt.
Egypt, South Dakota.
But yeah, and then also to circle back and Daredevil here. But I mean, I don't know. I really like Letra. I'd like to see some more about her. Hopefully. And also, I'm really glad they were getting her fitted for a new gear, because as rich as she's supposed to be, all she wears is a turtleneck.
Yeah. It's a bank robber's turtleneck.
And I'm just thinking about how I saw The Boss last weekend and how, like, Melissa McCarthy wears turtlenecks. And I'm like, so Melissa McCarthy could be Elektra, and it's because, like, just a turtleneck?
All right, I'm going to go a little bit off topic. Do they ever describe why she always wears turtlenecks in The Boss? Huh? Little off topic, but you brought it up. Do they ever say why she's always wearing a turtleneck?
Damn it!
Okay. I'm sorry. That bugged me for the trailer, and I wanted to know.
Nothing to anything I apologize.
Okay, so can anybody explain to me why Matt wanted to protect Stick?
Because that's, you know... That's his daddy, I
mean,
I guess.
He seems, like, really into making child soldiers. And then trying to kill them.
Stick, as far as I've seen, has done nothing. Like, I guess he helped train Matt or whatever. But for the most part, in these past two seasons, he's done nothing but fuck Matt's life. So, I didn't understand either. Where this whole bond suddenly came from. And Elektra was like, dude, why are we saving this guy, though? Like, what?
He betrayed you both.
Stick is like the cool what? Uncle who just ended up being a jerk in the end.
Only he's trying to murder you to death.
Well, that too. As will happen. here's a funny thing that never got brought up. So, Karen and Matt are already on the outs. Because of the whole vigilante thing, which I thought was interesting. They had an actual philosophical disagreement. You know?
Right.
She walks in, and there's Elektra bleeding all over the place, and an old dude, an old dude rubbing stuff on her, trying to cure, you know? And there's Matt in the middle of this. Like, she should have been like, you know what, I'm done. Like actually,
right,
like said it, like you to you.
Like, this is way more complicated than I was anticipating. And then also, you know, along with the horrible representation of people who are Asian in the show, there's a lot of, like, Orientalism, you know, with Stick in particular, and him being the best of, like, everybody who knows martial arts.
Right.
Well, white guys usually are the best
all
at martial arts, so that follows.
And everything, and like,
that's what that whole thing needed, was a white guy to come in.
And he did that last season, too. Yes. Just in case you thought you knew, you trained ninja folks. No, I'm sorry, it's Stick. He's the best.
This guy. Right here.
Who never washes his hair.
And he has a whole, like, a private army to boot.
Right.
Like, where did random driver guy come from?
Great question. Craigslist?
Yeah, I'm going to say Uber's a thing, dude.
Right. I mean, he's trained and emotionally damaged a lot of kids over the years. So that gives you a lot of employees to just randomly call when you need them.
That seems to be his hobby. Because I was definitely like, why are we defending him? We could just let him die.
But, you know, at least Matt is consistently making the wrong call.
That's true.
Yeah. I do like that. Like, you can depend on him to be wrong.
Like, Matt is quintessentially good heart, not a good brain.
Yes. This is true. Claire knows this.
And he seemed smarter season one, though, right?
You're right.
He had less stuff around him.
That's true.
I mean, season one was about him learning how to be Daredevil. Now the problem is how to be Daredevil and still be Matt. And that's where the tension comes in. So I thought that they played that pretty well.
Yeah, Matt had to go, apparently. It's all
those Well, they all had to go. And here's a question for you both. What did you think of Matt and Karen as a ship or a couple, however you want to define it?
I wasn't here for it.
Boo.
Boo. So the kiss in the rain by the near the nah.
Nah.
Okay, so I made a little video of that particular scene where she's like, "It's raining," and he's like, "It's not a problem," or whatever. And they walk. I'm like, "Get an Uber. Don't need to be out in the rain.
Someone's gonna catch
your
a cold.
Your cell phone is gonna die." No.
So in other words, boo. No. I don't even understand how that was a thing. We left off with Foggy and Karen about to, like, do something. All of a sudden, Matt's it now? Matt's the thing? Are you serious?
Well, they teased that, too, last year. I mean, she's... I think this is a TV problem more than anything else, is that attraction and romance get so tangled up. Mm-hmm. Like, I think in the best possible world, they hook up, and, you know, say after a week or two, Karen's like, "All right, that was good." But
no, she loves him, and Frank knows it.
Right. And
the best Matt, Karen... Oh, so
that was the point where I didn't think even Bernthal could save it. Like, really? Frank Castle's giving you love life advice?
Right? I was like, I guess he's trying to run up for his life whenever he really just wants to talk. Like...
I would watch, like, if there was a Frank Castle love advice column, I would read it. I would have it, like, coming to me on my email, make sure I get an alarm.
First thing in the
That
morning.
Was the best.
Like, and you know some of them would be, like, kill him next week.
Right. Like, he did what? Nah.
Boyfriend cheated on you? What's his address?
But, like, the best Matt and Karen scene was, when Karen admitted that she agreed with Frank, and then Matt's like, "Whoa, who am I fucking? I'm not even fucking." Like, I gotta.
I actually thought that was cool.
You're not who
I thought
you were.
I actually thought that was cool. Like, it was a political disagreement in the middle of a, you know, romantic story.
Yeah, like, it's that moment where they're like, "Oh, this is not gonna work out."
It was the best.
You like seeing their hopes destroyed.
I did, and it was also because I think and this is the one relatable moment that I've had with Karen. We've all, I think, said that one thing out loud in a romantic. You're not supposed to say it, though. And Karen had that face like, "Oh, is I not? I can't say too much." I said too much.
It was.
Did I kill the moon?
It was the iceberg for that shit.
I appreciated that it was that was the issue, and not Electra right off the bat.
Oh, me too.
Mm-hmm.
No, it seemed like a very real way for something to dissolve.
Right.
Something that should have never started.
Right. Also, aren't there any other people in New York she can date? Like, anybody else?
No, she has no friends.
No. Except for probably Ben's wife.
Who she will eventually marry and divorce, and then burn their house down to the ground and kiss on the ashes.
Right.
and get the inheritance. And not even spend the inheritance on, like, not even ball out on the inheritance. Like, just waste it on dumb shit. Like, just watch QVC all the time and buy random shit. She doesn't need, like, I don't know, 100 snuggles or studies or whatever. She's fucking annoying. They made her annoying. Like, I wanted to be... I think I liked Karen season one until she got Ben killed. And then I was like, well, no.
Well, and, you know, I think part of the problem is that we've only seen her attached to Matt and Foggy.
Right.
And now Frank. Mm-hmm. How does this woman not have female friends?
Not a one.
I wouldn't be your friend as well.
No one is even trying, though. You know.
Like, I mean, how does
almost all the women in this universe revolve around some dude?
Well, I mean, that's where Jessica Jones, I think, got a lot right, in that the constant on that show is female friendship, right. and even the relationship mm-hmm. between Hogarth and Jessica is a groundbreaker. You know, because at the end of Jessica Jones, I thought going in we'd see Matt there representing her, but when it ended up being Hogarth in the end, that flipped my thinking. Jessica Jones is about women being there for each other in a variety of capacities. You know, whether it be the failed relationship for Hogarth, Patsy and Jessica's friendship, and how good of a friend is Patsy?
She's the best.
You know, and even Jones and Hogarth love-hate thing. But, I mean, those are female spaces. And now we see Karen has nobody there except dudes.
Yeah, even dude at the newspaper.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know if she has a family.
They've suggested she's killed someone before Wesley, so something happened to her wherever she was from.
Alright, so do you guys think you will watch season 3?
Oh, we lost Melissa.
Oh no.
Looks like her mic went out. I'll probably give it a shot. I think Daredevil has built up enough goodwill. I think Luke Cage has built up enough goodwill, thanks to Mike Holder. Iron Fist is going to have to do a better job of selling me.
Yeah. I don't know if it's possible. We'll see. I think I'm really only at this point interested in Luke Cage and Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I think I definitely Jessica Jones definitely left some interesting stuff open for them to tackle next year. You know, even though I think Tennant's Kilgrave is one of those performances that really argues for a sci-fi fantasy Emmy slate.
Right, I agree. He was great and creepy and terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Whoever made the call for him to use his doctor voice is a savage. Just an out-and-out savage.
Hi, Melissa. Are you back?
Hey, I'm back. I'm sorry. My computer... Okay. I had to charge, and I was like, oh no, I gotta go AFK for 20 seconds.
Do you think you'll be watching season 3?
Yeah, it's what I... Certain stuff I know that I'm gonna do. And this is one of those things. I don't know where it's gonna go. I hope it gets... Season 2 wasn't horrible. I enjoyed most of it. So, yeah, I'm down for season 3.
Alright, you guys, so any final thoughts on Daredevil here? Or MCU as a whole?
Melissa?
I think Netflix was super smart about doing this. like just doing these whole series in general, like doing the Daredevil, then Jessica Jones, then Luke Cage, and I think is Iron Fist coming after Luke Cage?
Yes.
And, or is Iron Fist in the Defenders?
Yes.
Okay. So I think it was a smart thing. Netflix is pretty smart, by it. I mean, they make dumbass decisions. I'm not gonna lie. That Iron Fist move was pretty fucking dumb. But they're gonna make money. So congratulations to them.
I think they're gonna make money. I think they're gonna make money, but I think the problem is they are shortchanging the amount of money they could make. I think we're at the point now where I think more fans are ready for Marvel properties that aren't connected to this mess anymore. And I think one, we need more stuff out there with people of color in the lead, or people who are just not cis white hetero in the lead. I think the market is there. I think the distribution model is there. Netflix is demonstrating that. But we're beyond this now.
So what would you like to see?
You know, the top of the list for me has always been Next Wave, which is a superhero team show or book that was always sarcastic and funny and balls out action, with the added value of Monica Rambeau, who for me is still the Captain Marvel in the lead. I know a lot of people like Carol Danvers, but for me growing up, it was Monica Rambeau as Captain Marvel. And I think there's room for that now, and I think it's only going to benefit Marvel and Netflix to look at more than the quote-unquote MCU as this one set of stories.
Hmm. Maybe they could cast Nicole Beharie. She's not busy anymore.
What is that? Because she's free now. I would watch that, though.
And okay, guys, so it's time to wrap up this episode of Nerdgasm Lore. Don't forget to follow us at Nerdgasm Lore on Twitter. You can also follow all the ladies here. You can check out Jamie at The Way of the Id, JP at Isotist. I said it wrong. Kia at the Kia at the Last Door. Melissa at Black Girl Geeky. Myself at Roxy at _Roxy_, and D at Nanny Cool J, and Arturo at A Boy Named Art. So thank you for coming on the show. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you very much for having me. Long time fan.
I saw your tweet and I was like, you bet we can get you on talking about that. Yeah. But we look forward to having you on again and talk about some more Marvel things or some other things. If you ever want to come on, just let us know.
Just holler.
Definitely.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.